Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net. Take advantage of the resources we have available, books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more. They're just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site, and if we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. or give us a call at 804-909-7339. Today we're going to continue our series on the book of John, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, give us a call at 347-857-1322 or log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. Hallelujah. Well, it is always my honor and privilege to introduce my co-host, my partner, if you will, in this endeavor, Pastor Godfrey Kasirya. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm so blessed I can't be stressed. Hallelujah.
Glory to God, brother. So exciting. Once again, yes, sir, to come together and break the bread of life.
Amen, amen, and amen again. Well, a couple of things as far as announcements go. I actually had the opportunity to attend your church service on Sunday, and it was absolutely amazing. So appreciate your breaking down the word. And let me just tell you, folks, I tell you what, go ahead and give us the commercial for where the church is at.
Amen. The church is on Hall Street. Number is 3076 or 3076 Hall Street. That is Richmond, Virginia. And zip code is 23224. We are meeting in a building, actually sharing a building with Seed Time and Harvest Time Ministries. We surely welcome you every Sunday evening. We are meeting at 3 o'clock, up to 5 o'clock. We come to break the bread of life. We come to enjoy His presence. So we welcome. Come down and join with us. And let's.
Amen. 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 If you want to, you want to know what the Word says, that's the place to be on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock. Praise God. Also, another way of announcements: my new book, DWJD, Do What Jesus Did, is finally available after 9 years. I will have it on our website today. You can also get it from bookpatch.com. Just type in DWJD and it should come up. So you can order it either which way you want it. If you want to send me an email and request a copy, I'll be glad to mail that out to you post haste, and hope that you are blessed by what the Lord has revealed to us over the last 9 years. Hallelujah. All right, this morning, brother, we're going to continue in our conversation. I think we're in John chapter 6, aren't we?
Yes, sir. We left off from verse 14, so we'll be getting to verse 15.
Starting 15. Okay. Well, Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity to gather in your presence. We thank you, Father, for your word that, as Pastor Godfrey said, is the bread of life, and we want to break it and share it with ourselves and with others. And, Father, we just thank you that the Holy Spirit has free reign today to do with us and with this word what he chooses to do. And we ask you, Lord, to make this word real in our life, and we'll just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm excited.
Hallelujah.
It's
exciting.
There is something in the air, and I think it has to do with the word. We started off in John chapter 6 last week, in the first 14 verses, was talking about him feeding the 5,000. And so today we want to start in verse 15, which begins with "Therefore," and we know what it was there for, okay? Because he was talking about the baskets and the loaves and the fishes and what have you. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. And now there's some pretty significance there. So we'll come back to that in just a minute.
Right.
Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got on the boat, and they went over to the sea towards Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them, and then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. And so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were afraid. Hallelujah. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." And then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Hallelujah. Well, let's break that down a little bit. In verse 15, I think one of the most interesting things here, and we go back to this same thing we were talking about last week, is, and actually what we were talking about on Sunday, is Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him the king. Now, the Jewish people were under the misunderstanding, if you will, that he was going to be a political leader and not a spiritual leader.
Right.
And so when they wanted him to be the king, they wanted him to overthrow the current government. And they didn't really realize that the government that he represented was higher than anything on earth anyway. But the key word here, and again, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, so I know you do the King James, so if there's something different, let's talk about that. He says, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived..." Now, we go back to what we were talking about this weekend. He only did what he saw his father do, right?
Right.
And so that perception there is not some... psycho, supernatural, psychic phenomenon or something like that. I believe he actually saw these people coming in the spirit. What do you think?
I believe so. And, you know, I was considering when you look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, where it says that the wise men, you know, were seeking, they knew that the king is born. If we read there, it says, when he... where is he that is born? King of the Jews, for we have seen the star in the east. In other words, these wise men, they knew that the king is born, but like you said, he was not referring to this natural world or kingdomship. He was referring to the heavenly, a different kingdom where he is the king. And with these, I believe, he, like I said, he must have perceived, not just that he was just kind of like imagining, you know, within himself that are they trying to, but he must have realized something going on here, that man wants to do something which is untimely, because I know he knew the timing of the Father, that this would be the right and perfect time that I should be reigning. And then there is another one, if you would look at John chapter 18, that so that we can wrap them up together. John chapter 18, and I believe it's verse 37. That was at the trial. Now, this is Pilate himself. 18, I believe it's 37. It says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. I want to mark that. To this end was I born. Now, Jesus knew that he was born to rule. He was born to reign. And as we saw, the wise men also knew that the king is born. And so what I also learned from this is that the timing, because Jesus knew there is a set time for which he must be known that this is now the right time to rule. But like I said, he must have seen what the Father was doing then, that these people are trying to go ahead of the time. They want to make you before the time that you should be made known.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's good stuff. You're absolutely right. I think also interesting here is that you know, once he heard that or once he perceived that, he heard it or saw it or whatever, anyway, he knew what was going on, his next action was to go be alone.
Yeah. And how often do we see?
Sometimes, you know, that's not, we don't like to do that. We don't like to be alone.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. How often do we see that as men, we try to gather as many people that we can have all the time around us. But Jesus knew the secret is to be alone and continue to communicate to the Father.
Amen. God,
amen.
Yeah, I do. All right, well, that was good. And so now
amen.
When the evening came, the disciples, they went out to the boat, and they went across the sea there. And in the middle of that thing, they had a storm come up, and of course they were shaking in their boots. I think that this is significant too, from the standpoint of that once you launch out, for example, you know, you're starting a church.
Right.
And once you launch out in faith in that, there are going to be storms that come.
Exactly. Yeah.
But Jesus is always there, walking with us to tell us, look, just chill.
Yeah.
It's going to be all right.
Exactly.
You got to worry about it. Nothing to be afraid of. And I heard somebody yesterday talking about Memorial Day, the fact that you know, that strength is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to be able to deal with the fear. And so,
exactly.
You know, being afraid, there's nothing wrong with it. If the waves are, you know, 22 feet up in the air, that's cause for consternation.
Yeah.
you might be concerned. But you have to always then go back to your rock, which is Jesus, and know that you know that he's not gonna leave you or forsake you. And it says that as soon as he got there to the boat and came inside the boat, then bam, they were where they needed to be. Hallelujah.
That's what amazes me. Immediately. Now my King James says immediately. I wonder how it took for the boat to move from one spot to another in that little short of time. It reminds me of how Philip in the book of Acts was carried, you know, from one place to another. Because this was so amazing immediately. And how often, if we get to worry when these storms of life come, and we tend to forget that the Master, Jesus Christ, is working with us, like you said, what will happen is that as we put our trust in him, there is the suddenlies. I believe those are the suddenlies, the immediatelys that come in our lives. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that. Well, does the King James use immediately or suddenly?
Mine uses, the old King James says, immediately. The ship was at the land.
Immediately.
Amen.
Yeah, that's powerful word right there, buddy.
So I believe we're in the times, brother, where we're going to see the immediatelys or the suddenlies, things that have been kind of stagnant. But as we look unto him and we say, Lord, you're walking with us, you're our rock, then immediately.
All right, that's funny. I had a friend of mine on Facebook this morning was talking about, he went out to Monroe Park here in Richmond and was ministering to some of the homeless men out there.
Right.
And He said he talked to seven people, and every single one of them, you know, gave their lives to the Lord. But he said the last guy was a Muslim, and his name was Moses. And so, it's like, that's kind of interesting as well. But anyway, so he said they were in the middle of the prayer, and all of a sudden they heard this cracking sound, this suddenly cracking, and a tree limb that was about 10 inches wide and about 14 foot long hit the ground about 20 feet away from them. But Tommy said he didn't miss a lick. He kept right on praying.
Hallelujah.
Because he knew who was there with him, brother. He knew who was in the boat with him. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I sent him back a message, and I said, I told him, I said, well done on your effort there, but you have to remember that signs and wonders follow the word.
Exactly. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. I agree.
Hey, hallelujah. So that was powerful. All right, let's start in verse 22. It says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but he was there, hallelujah, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here?
Thank you.
Cab arrive, you know. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which is the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal. On him, hallelujah. So take off on that one.
Now, I'm looking at that word, sir. Can you read for me? In, I don't know how your Bible puts it, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 13.
Ephesians
chapter 1 and verse 13.
Well, if I can get my fingers to work. Ephesians 1, you said, right?
Yes, sir. 1:13.
Okay, 1:13 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance under the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory.
Then also 2 Corinthians 1:22, he's talking about the sealing.
All right, you go ahead and read that one.
2 Corinthians 1:22. It says that who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, I was looking at that word sealed. Now, which is the same word here, it says that for him has God the Father sealed. And I was looking at that word sealing, it's in reference to the Holy Spirit. That let's consider, you know, any writing, you know, any writing maybe from the court whereby the seal has been put on. That's a sign of approval, being approved. And so, in like manner, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, a man approved, that's in the book of Acts, a man approved of God, he has a seal, an approval that, yes, this is the man that I have chosen.
Well, that's also a sign of authority.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yes. It's just a sign of authority.
For example, I'm a notary public here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And so when I witness somebody's signature on a document and I seal it,
yes,
and I put my stamp on it, you know, with my it has that I'm a notary and it has my number and all that, and when my commission expires, then that's an authoritative signature, if you will, or authoritative witness to the signature that those people did, and it is binding in court.
Correct. Yes. Mm. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I'm looking at, yes, that, you know, when they get to, after the miracle of the immediate, of the suddenly, they didn't know that Jesus was there. But look, they were seeking for the temporal bread. And how much often, you know, people come and just look at the miracles that have been happening in their, in their lives, instead of seeking him who performs the miracle. They are looking for the miracles, and that's another problem. I believe this is where Jesus was directing them, that, you know, the seal I have, the approval, the stamp I have on, it's from the Father himself. Now, that means you don't need to seek the natural bread that you've eaten. I'm the real bread. Of course, down the next verses, you know, we'll be breaking that down more. He comes to tell them, I'm the true bread. Your fathers ate the bread in the wilderness and they died. But he that will eat this bread that has been approved, I am Jesus Christ, the bread of life.
I like that. That's cool. So then verse 28 says, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Which now that in and of itself is not necessarily a bad question.
Right.
But they needed to look at it from the perspective of not only doing the works but also having the spirit behind the works.
Exactly, yes.
So in 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna of the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them in verse 32, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven. Oh, my goodness gracious, I can imagine the turmoil that was unleashed when he said that. I have come down from heaven, hallelujah, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know you have something to say about that, and then I've got something to say about that.
Yes, brother. I'm looking at verse 35, and again, at verse 41, we say, I am the bread. Not I was, I will be, but I am the bread of life. Again, in 41 says, I am. Not I will be, but I am the bread of life.
Wow. Well, you know, in that particular context, that word would be indicative of something that's going to continue.
Exactly, yes.
Because if he had said, I was, that would have been already done.
Right.
But he says, I am, so that means it continues. So as long as he's alive,
Right.
Now, see, this is where Christians get in trouble, too, sometimes, especially when they first start off. You know, they wonder if all of this was true as long as he was alive, but what happened when he died?
Right.
See, but he never really died.
Mm-mm.
His physical body died, but his spirit, you know, stayed alive.
That's right.
And that's where we as Christians have to understand that this is not just necessarily, I mean, there's a natural part of this, but the spirit part is even more important than the natural. Amen.
Amen. And do you remember the times that, of course, we'll be looking at it as we go further, and John puts it so direct. When they came seeking him, this is with Judas, he says, I am. It's only John that says it like that, I am, and then they all fell away.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So that means he's continuous. And when we see in the recordings of the apostles, say, I was dead, now I'm alive. Now, he is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I will be, but I am. Present continuous.
Yeah, see, that's what makes him different from all the other gods.
That's true. Thank you, Jesus.
Because he is alive. He's not dead.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you remember when we were in Addis Ababa, and that lady just, you know, placed her mat down the middle of the airport and started praying, you know, to a God who's dead.
Right, right.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, if you ask me, I don't know. It may not be crazy.
It is.
In their own mind, they think that that's exactly what they're supposed to be doing. But there's another thing here that he says. Let me go back here. Where's that thing at? All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the only I will no means cast out, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, has given me. Here it is. Verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. Okay, now I'm reaching into the middle of this scripture,
right,
and taking that out, and I have license to do that because the Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable, and that we live not by bread alone, but by every single word, okay? So I'm going to pull those words out, and I'm going to do this to it.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus was crucified, he prayed three prayers, and those three prayers, in one of those he said, I have not lost any one of these that you've given me, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
So he's prophesying right there. That's a prophetic word of what's getting ready to happen in the garden at Gethsemane. He's going to go through this 3.5 years with these guys, but he's not going to lose a one except for Judas, who was supposed to be lost. Hallelujah. So the word can be fulfilled.
Yes. Mm-mm. Thank you, Lord.
Well, and as always, we're out of time.
Wow.
So we'll start back next week here in John chapter 6, and we'll get through it eventually. Until then, I hope folks are blessed, and let the Spirit reign in your life, and we will see you next week. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.